Random House Audio presents Four Card Draw, a dramatization of the short story by Louis L'Amour.
Louis L'Amour. Often I'm asked what book can be read to learn about the West. Immediately the question occurs, what part of the West? Are we talking about Montana, Texas, Oregon, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, or Kansas? And of what period? Early explorations by the Spanish or French, Lewis and Clark, Pike? Or are we talking about fur trapping and trading, about the wagon train days, about Indian wars, stage routes and holdups, or the buffalo hunting, cattle drives, sheep wars, mining or homesteading? The West has many facets, and each one demands considerable study if one really hopes to learn anything about it. There is no one book. I have read thousands of books, pamphlets and government reports, diaries, newspapers, etc., and I am still only beginning to understand many phases of the West. Yet there are some basic books that can contribute much to an understanding of what it was all about, and most of them are factual. They were written by men and women who were there at the time. We do not have to guess what happened. We know. Commerce of the Prairies by Josiah Gregg has long been accepted as one of the basic books, if not the basic book, on the Santa Fe Trail. Inman has also written a good book on the subject, and there are many others presenting different aspects of that trade. If one wishes to learn about Apaches from two officers who fought them, studied them, and admired them, the two best, in my estimation, are On the Border with Crook by Major Bourke and Life Among the Apaches by Captain Cremony. There are 50 more, many equally as good as the two mentioned. When one begins to learn, there is no end to it, and every aspect of the West could be a subject of many stories. Trailing Geronimo by Masanovich is also good. One of the best books on the Plains country is by George Armstrong Custer, called My Life on the Plains. Most people have no idea that Custer ever wrote a book, or that his wife wrote several. Custer fought Indians because that was the job he was given. He was not wild, insane, or an Indian hater. He was an excellent cavalry officer, a good fighting man, and a man with great respect for the Indian. In fact, in his own book, he says if he were an Indian, he would be fighting just as they were. Another excellent book of that period is Warpath and Bivouac by John F. Finnerty, a correspondent who was with Crook at the Battle of the Rosebud, the almost forgotten battle in which the Sioux fought Crook to a standstill just a few days before the Custer fight. Historic Sketches of the Cattle Trade by Joseph McCoy is another classic, written by the man who started it all. The Log of a Cowboy by Andy Adams is another classic, an account written after the fact by a man who was there. Partly fictional, but based on his personal experiences. Anyone interested in just what could be done with a six-shooter should read Fast and Fancy Revolver Shooting by Ed McGivern, who could do it all, and gives examples of timed firing at targets. The Trail Drivers of Texas, edited by J. Marvin Hunter, is a fine collection of actual experiences by men who lived through those days. Chittenden's classic history of the fur trade is another, but the best on that is the 8-volume set by Ira Hafen on the mountain men in the fur trade. Of course, there is no way of understanding the Western pioneers without traveling the country itself. And I do not mean just flying over it. One has to be on the ground, walking or riding over the country, to get any kind of an understanding of what it must have been like. One has to endure some of the heat and cold, the thirst and the hunger, to truly appreciate it. The books mentioned above are just some of the better-known ones. One who truly wishes to understand the West will read the diaries, the journals, and the biographies of the people who lived it. For every book I have mentioned, there are a dozen which can enlarge on whatever they say, can add more information and more color. One has to be careful not to take for granted some of the popular versions of what happened in the West. It seems to have been the practice of writers telling the story of one gunfighter to denigrate all the others to boost their own hero. Nobody knows who was the fastest man with a gun. Nobody will ever know. Like baseball pitchers, they were not always at their best, and the good ones rarely fought each other. We do have a few such cases, such as the meeting of Luke Short and long-haired Jim Courtright, or Pete Gabriel and Joe Fye, but they are few indeed. Each knew too well what the other could do, or what might be done. Often one hears people who have never shot a black powder gun in their lives, or often any other gun, doubt their accuracy, range, or power. There are several thousand dead men who wish all that could have been true. So many loose statements are made by people who never examined the evidence. One often hears that Billy the Kid was a psychopathic killer, but on what evidence? His killings were few, and most of them in the Lincoln County War, in which many men were involved, and much killing was done. The history of the West can never be completely written. There are many books, good solid sources, most of them, and more are being written. If you want to see the country, it is still there, and there are still men out there who could have ridden the trails just as well as those who did. But to fully appreciate what happened, you have to get out in the mountains, on the plains, or in the desert, and see for yourself.
And now, Four Card Draw. The first time I ever sat down to a card table, I still hadn't taken my first drink. I didn't enjoy that pleasure until almost 3 years after I'd won my first hand of poker. Two pairs, tens and nines. Those are two things a young gambler isn't likely to forget. His first drink and his first breath of perfume from the sweet goddess of good luck. I've sat at a lot of tables since those days. I've seen my share of heartaches, and I've seen my share of miracles. I was down in Nacogdoches one winter, sitting with my back to a big pot-bellied stove, playing five-card draw and throwing my money away. I couldn't win a cold nose from a hungry dog.
Cards, gentlemen.
One.
Mr. Taylor takes one. Mr. Monroe.
Well, it's almost supper time, and I ought to be getting home, I'll take two.
Mr. Monroe, out of the kindness of his heart, takes two. Mr. Ring?
Four.
I'm sorry, sir. The noise in here, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, I'll take four cards, Mr. Abbott.
Four.
Four. Four cards.
Mr. Ring, out of a despair we can only imagine, takes four cards.
Thank you.
A dealer will play what he holds in his hand. Your bet, Mr. Taylor.
Well, let's begin easy. $5. That way no one need feel chased out of the game. At least not too quickly.
I kept a nine, naturally. Threw away a jack, a four, a deuce, and a seven. I know better than to put any trust in a four-card draw. A blind Baptist deacon knows better than to put any trust in a four-card draw.
Mr. Monroe.
Sorry. I was studying. You can't be too
careful.
Are
you in, Mr. Monroe? It's your bet, sir.
Oh, dear. I'm going to be late for supper, sure as shooting, but, I'll call, and I'll raise 10 more.
Mr. Ring.
I picked up my four new cards and began to fan them out in my hand so I could see them. I had drawn another nine. Then I caught a whiff of perfume. Lucky jasmine, I'd like to think. And there they were. Three aces. I had drawn a nine and three aces.
Mr. Ring, we're waiting, sir.
Yes, I'm in. $15 to call and $20 more to see my miracle.
Well, you make curiosity a high-priced commodity, sir. But if I have a vice left, it's curiosity. I'm in, Mr. Taylor.
I think he's bluffing. We've played each other before, haven't we, Mr. Ring?
Call me. Call me if you think it's a bluff.
I'll do even better than that. I will teach you a lesson and hopefully break you of this terribly wasteful habit. I'll see you, 20. Raise you $100.
100's the bet. Mr. Monroe.
Oh, dear, I hate eating a cold supper, don't you? I mean, cold supper's...
Mr. Monroe.
Well, I'm out. I fold.
Your bet, Mr. Ring.
You're probably sitting too close to that pot-bellied stove. You're starting to sweat.
$100, Mr. Taylor, and $200 on top of that.
You can't be serious. You drew four cards.
Pay to see him. Pay to see him or go have a cold supper with Mr. Monroe.
The dealer, out of a high regard for his financial scalp, throws his hand on the table.
Your $200, Ring. And this deed... A small ranch out in the Arizona Territory.
I don't think so.
Mr. Abbott can vouch for the land, the legal status of my ownership, if that's what's bothering you.
Well, it's 50 acres of good grassland, Mr. Ring, along the Verde River. Rich cattle country. There's a government surveyor's report attached to the deed.
What's it worth?
I've offered Mr. Taylor $500 for the ranch, sight unseen. I'll offer you the same.
$500.
Think it over, sir. That's a lot of money to throw away. On a bluff.
I hadn't ever spent much time in the Arizona Territory. I'd ridden through Tucson once and seen a man with a barrel full of live Gila monsters, selling them for the cook pot. He said that Gila monster meat could keep a man from getting thirsty for 3 days straight.
Gonna be dark in another few minutes, Mr. Ring. I'd like to get back to my hotel before dark.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?